Stacking Spine podcast listeners, Brittany and I are so excited to announce our guest today is our first author we've ever had on the podcast. Mm-hmm. We are so excited. Yes. Miss Vanessa Stock. She is the author of Right Where You Left Me, Wrath of Love, and her new book, which comes out this year, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Shadows of Innocence. Ooh. Woo! We're so excited.
We're so excited.
I'm excited.
Thank you.
I feel like I popped your cherry. This is exciting.
This is awesome. Oh, we are so excited. So we were chatting a little bit, but could you tell us about yourself a little? Just kind of, what do you want us to know about you?
I like long walks on the beach.
No. Me too.
We do too.
Oh, sweet. Okay. So, you know, it's always funny when people ask me because I don't know who I am. I still don't know who I am. But I think I'm just my best friends describe me as the golden retriever.
Aww.
To a T. I am, you know, yeah, I'm lovable. I'm fun. I'm silly at times.
Yeah.
I'm a very caring person. And, you know, am I uncontrollable? 100%. You see me in the crowd? I'm going that way. They're like, where's she going? She's gone.
Yes.
But I also have a spicy side.
Yes. We see that in some of your writing.
Yes.
Yes. So, but that, I would actually say that's who I am as a person. I'm very, I've always been the person to like, I love life. I love people.
Yeah.
I take it as it is. This is who I am.
Yeah.
People like it. Sorry.
Oh, we're going to get along great. It's funny. My coworker calls me a golden retriever.
I love it. It's so cute.
Brittany.
Cool.
Brittany's a golden retriever for sure.
I am.
Brittany. We're good.
There we go.
We're good. There we go.
I got two little golden retrievers. I don't know what I am. I'm Hey Hey from Moana. <I love
that>. Yeah, you should see her voice texts to me. I'm like, whoa, where are we going? They're like in all different directions.
Oh, yeah.
I don't judge you. So
nope.
My best friend, Michelle, I think I mentioned it in the group multiple times. She gets my cry videos, my silly videos, my anger videos. She's at the point where she's like, I'm going to make a documentary on Vanessa at this point. Like, you're like this.
Yes.
Like, we don't know Vanessa. What day is it? What is she today?
I love it.
That's just being true to yourself and who you are and your feelings.
Exactly.
Oh,
that's
man.
Too boring. You need to have fun.
And
you look at the cup half full, not half empty.
I try to. You know,
yeah.
Of all the things that occurred in my life, that I've experienced in my life, and they weren't great, it makes you a different person in the future. Like, am I still battling with stuff in my past? Of course, everyone does. You know, everyone has their own demons.
Yeah.
But I think I come to the conclusion that, you know, I can't allow it to soak in. Like, one of my favorite quotes was from, I think, Megan Gilbert, the one that created Eat, Pray, Love.
Yes.
She wrote a book called Magic. Oh, I forgot the name of it. I'm lost at this. But anyways, or The Magic or something. But she says a great line in it. She goes, you can't let fear take over your steering wheel.
Yeah.
You can have fear in the car and not as a passenger in the front seat, but it could be in the back seat. Because we all need fear. Life is going to have fear in it. But you can't allow it to control you for the rest of your life. And so after reading that, I was like, that hits home.
Yeah.
All the things that I've experienced, I'm like, I can't allow it to consume me. So I try every day. Am I gonna be perfect? Absolutely not.
Right.
There's no such thing as perfect.
No.
When you're one person like that, I'm like, you're a psychopath.
Yeah.
But that's 100%. But I think that's like that's how you find genuine people in the world, are the people who realize that I'm not perfect. I make mistakes every day. I'm no better than you, but I own up it. I own it, and that's how I tackle life.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's how, you know, I live like that. Like, I try to. And, you know, I'm not perfect. No one is. But, you know, I'm imperfect perfect.
Yeah.
That's what I go by.
Look
at me. quote person.
I love it. We're gonna tattoo it right on us.
Well, I was,
no,
I was
no regrets too.
No regrets. She gets us, Brittany.
Yes.
No regrets. You're a mom too, right?
I am.
How old is your daughter? Just curiosity.
Yeah, she's gonna turn 6 or aka 25.
Yes.
Yeah.
It doesn't get better. April 16. Yes.
Okay, so you still have young.
I do.
Oh my gosh. It doesn't get better. No. It just gets worse.
Don't tell me this.
Well, you don't have a girl yet.
You know what? You have, okay, this is the difference. And I don't want to sound sexist or anything. And please don't judge me.
No.
But having a boy, it's physical warfare. Yeah. Having a girl, it's mental warfare.
It is.
Yeah, that is just how we are created. Yes.
I don't want to judge. Like, I'm not trying to make it awkward or anything. But
no.
Like,
no, I agree.
It's mental warfare.
Well, we're all women. I think we know that.
I have a boy and then I have a girl. And I can 100% agree with that. My daughter just turned 7, and I swear she thinks she's, like, 27.
It's true. I'm like, she already had a boyfriend, and she's over the boyfriend, and then she's thinking about maybe going back with boyfriend. I'm like, girl, get over it.
Oh, my gosh.
I see with my niece. She's 8, and she's all over the place.
Yeah.
All over the place.
Yeah.
And it's just like... Like, okay, so she's going through a phase where she hated tight pants. So we had to buy her a whole new wardrobe of track pants.
Yes.
And then this week she's like, I feel like tight pants now. I don't like track pants. I'm like, just please. You don't have that type of money.
I feel like whatever pants. You have in your dresser drawer is going to work today.
And so my mom called me this morning. She's like, your daughter doesn't like track pants anymore, so we're going to go get her some, like, tight pants. I'm like...
She knows who to ask.
Yeah.
Conniving little one.
Oh yeah. Conniving. Oh, but man.
I tell everyone, I hope, I pray and hope to the gods of whoever that my daughter still stays like this for the rest of her life.
Yeah.
Because in the world that we're living in and in... the men that are out there that will treat her, I want her to be as resilient and feisty and conniving. I want her to be. I want her so hard to, like, manipulate and kick ass. Cause, like, girl, go for it. Nothing wrong with that.
I say all the time, my daughter is incredibly hard-headed, and one day it'll serve her really well. But for me right now, that sucks.
Yeah. She's on my you. 7th life.
Yeah. If I were a cat, I'd be a, Oh. So do you have any hobbies outside of writing?
So big thing for me is I work out. I know that is not much of a hobby, but I think my mental game, like when I was on mat leave, I was like going insane because I'm like, I had about a 7-month recovery after having my daughter.
Yeah.
And so I was restricted from doing a lot of things and it takes away your mental side. Like for me, going for a run, working out, lifting weights, it's literally shutting the world off. And for a moment I'm like, you know, my other thing is I do the podcast with my friends with this, our paranormal podcast. So it's like I have so many different hats, and one moment I'm just like, it's nice to be like just me.
Yeah.
No one's talking to me. Like, that's a big thing for me. I mean, there's other things, you know, like I love to like play some sports when I can, if I have time or do other stuff. But my biggest thing is loving to just like go for a run and like working out and like not being anyone at all.
Yes. I miss working out so much. I used to do it all the time too.
It's hard. Like I know down in the States you guys only get a certain amount of period of time for mat leave.
Yeah. 6 weeks.
We get between 12 to 18 months of mat leave.
So we get like we get six.
I had 14 weeks.
So I worked up until I had my first, and he's about to be 9 in April, so I'm really, like, I don't quite remember. I just remember looking at it and thinking, I'm going to come to work to pay for daycare. So can I just stay home? And we made that decision. But if I remember right, I had 6 weeks. I could take 12 if I used all my vacation.
Yeah. No, I got paid 12 weeks and then I took 2 weeks of my own.
Yeah. It's kind of bull crap.
Yeah.
For here, it sucks. You get 12 weeks. Sorry, you get 12 months at, I think it's like 3/4 of pay or something like that.
Yeah.
Or like, and then you can go up to 18 months, but it's half pay.
Okay.
So, whatever.
Oh, so I mean, nice. It's great. It's nice.
Sign me up.
I was the one that's like, after 6 months, I'm like, I'm ready to go back to work.
Right, right.
I'd be like, I don't even remember how to do my job.
Yeah. Like, and then COVID hit. And so I couldn't.
Oh,
I
was like, yeah.
It's like, great.
COVID was bad.
Yeah. We didn't have it as bad as Canada, but.
We weren't allowed to do anything. And it was weird because the minute everything was starting to go up and like everything was released and stuff, it felt weird because like everything went back to normal. So it wasn't even like a gradual, it was like a whoop, and then everything went back to normal. And you're like,
yeah.
Am I allowed to be this close or am I allowed to be this close? Like, and the one benefit is like we didn't have to go to all the functions in the Italian family. So I was like, oh, yay. Take a break.
Oh, man. Gosh.
But, yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
No, I was going to just say the only benefit that did come out of that was my first book.
Really? Yes. Oh, man. Well, okay. So I want to kind of gear into your books. But first I want to ask you, what are some of your favorite books that you've ever read? Or do you have a favorite author? Do you have an author that is an automatic buy?
Yeah. Gianna Darling. I will buy her books. I don't even care if she wrote like on a piece of paper. I will buy her books instantly. Darling is my favorite. I think I have a fangirl of her. Like I've literally like I've read her whole entire series of every single one. My favorite is The Fallen Boys.
Okay.
The Fallen Men. Priest is beautiful.
Oh, I think I've.
Oh, they're Canadian men too.
Okay. I think I've seen some of those out there.
I think I have one here that I laid next to me.
He's in Who's my that tree. By?
Oh, there we go.
Dead Man Walking.
Okay.
This is, I think this
Gianna
is
Darling.
Sixth or fifth book. I wish they told you like a number. That would be great if they had like a number indicator of which one.
Oh, yeah.
But
I love that cover.
It's beautiful. She has multiple covers of different things. There's one with a man on it, and I'm like, oh.
We'll take that one too.
We'll take that. Yeah, I love her. Actually, this one was one of my favorite. She is fantastic. I love her. She is the sweetest woman I've ever met in my life. She also, her stories are phenomenal. And I don't know why no one's talking about it. So Harley Diamond. She has.
Oh, he looks nice.
Once again, they don't tell me what. This is not the first book.
He looks like Sons of Anarchy there.
He looks nice.
Like Charlie, what's his name? Oh.
Charlie Hunnam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
I met him, by the way.
Ooh.
But the way
you have a blanket of him.
I'm gonna make one. So the way that she writes like a TV series.
Okay.
So she puts a lot of depth in it, and I was like, okay, this is good.
Nice. Yeah, so
those two are like my automatic. You know, I love. Mariana Zapata, I love her. Her work is fantastic. She's a great read. She's a slow burn.
Ooh,
very, very slow. You know, I do have my other Canadians. I got my Elsie Silver.
I have her on my list.
Yes,
she's good. You know, if I need something that's just like, I don't know, like if I need something that's
quick
very,
and sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like quick, sweet, fun to read.
You know, we need
not to say that it doesn't have depth, but just something that's fun and lighthearted.
A palate cleanser.
Yeah, exactly.
You need that sometimes.
Oh, one of my other favorite ones, and she is a I don't know how to explain it. I guess like people of color and of
different. Oh, okay.
I don't know the term. Sorry, I'm blanking out for a minute. Is Brittany Cherry. 100%. She is like my favorite authors of all time. Like, she's my number one. She's finally getting noticed, which is incredible because I've read every single book of hers, and her writing is poetry. Like, it's this woman is beautiful inside and
out. She's got a good name.
Yeah. And she just, I wish I had like a physical copy, but my shelves are a hot mess. But yeah, she was, honestly, I've read every single book of hers, and every single one makes me cry, emotional, and it destroys my heart. And I was like,
yeah,
she makes me feel things that I never felt before. And I wish I could be as good as her.
Is it the air he breathes?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Yes. We gotta add all this to our list, Emily, for our podcast.
You will literally just melt and
I'm taking notes.
There we go.
Yeah, I know. I see you writing. That's why I don't need to look at anything.
I'll send you as many as you want. Like, she is spectacular in every way possible.
Okay,
I remember she liking my post once, and I literally
You're like fangirl. Yeah, yeah. Oh my gosh.
That's we like Christina Lauren. They're two authors together, and Emily posted something, and they shared it, and we're like, "Oh my gosh!"
I was like, "Fangirl moment!
Look at us! Look at us!" That's it.
You're instantly in. You're like, "Whoa!" Yep. I always get weird when someone's like, "Oh my god, you like my stuff," and I was like, "Really? I'm not that big. I'm not that
special." But
it's a big deal.
Your writing is beautiful.
I told my husband we were going to do a podcast with an author, and he was like an author of a book? And I was like, no, not an author of a book. And he's like, well, that's pretty dope. And I was like, it is pretty dope.
I always get weird when people want to interview me, because I'm like, why me? I'm not even as good as in, like,
well, just remember us when you hit big, okay?
Brittany always says. Okay, so I'm curious how writing has changed you as a person.
Good question.
Especially because you said you started writing during COVID.
Yeah.
Which was a really, like, monumental time for a lot of people. A lot of soul searching.
Yeah. I'll go and tell you a little bit story about that, because no one hasn't really asked me it, because I guess we never talked about the first book. But
which I want to today.
Yeah. Oh god, she still has a little piece of my heart. Yeah. Okay. So basically, during the time of COVID, I just finished. Sorry, I didn't finish. I just had my baby in 2019, and it's before COVID. Sorry, guys. 2018, just had my baby, and she was not easily delivered. Basically, like, it was hard. You get emotional about, like, almost losing your child and stuff. And then no one talks about postpartum depression. They always just pre-assume, you know, it's just baby blues. You get over it. But I had it really bad. And I'm not ashamed to say it. You know, we should talk about it. It should be less of a stigma and more of a, you know, we're all there for everyone. And so, and I had a really hard time healing after.
Yeah.
I went through a whole, like, couple miscarriages after that point, and realizing that it might not happen for me again, because I was already a high risk pregnancy. So there was a lot of emotions, a lot of trying to figure out who I was. And so, you know, I turned to writing. I've always loved writing as a kid. I've always loved writing in high school, and I never got a chance to go back to writing. And so I focused on putting my mental health into a book. And so the first book is not an easy read for a lot, because it basically is my mental health was in it. It took a year to write that one because of how painful I was feeling every step of the way. And a lot of people messaged me after, and they're like, I resonated with it so hard. And I'm like, I think a lot of people don't like talking about certain things, whether it's like their mental health or feeling certain ways or, you know, yeah. And don't get me wrong, I've had numerous amount of bad reviews on that book.
Oh,
did they write a book?
Yeah. I automatically give a star for a book written right there.
Thank you. Thank you. But it's not a happy-go-lucky story.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, I was not happy. I was not myself. And I lost myself. And so writing has been my therapeutic moment where I can release things, where I can show who I am, where I'm, you know, if I'm dealing with something emotional, I'm putting it in the book, whether it's heartache, whether it's, you know, anger, or whether it's just happy, like
spicy.
And exactly. So with the first book, it was more so a lot of pain and a lot of trying to discover yourself. And a lot of people don't know this, but in the story, it's that mom and daughter vibes. And I made it out to be like me and my daughter, because she was only going to be my own. Like, that's all I had.
Yeah.
And I mimicked it through the whole book. And so, it was that one. It's still, every time I think about it, it always, it's like a love loss, so to speak.
It's almost like a healing, like, process. Yeah. Like, you've been able to heal yourself and find yourself a little more through your writing.
Exactly. So with that one, it was nice to get people to message me and say, like, I was exactly like her once. Mm. And it's like, it was nice, because then I felt like, oh, I'm not the only one. Bless you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm not the only one. So
yeah,
that was it.
Mm. I need to read that one. It's on my list. Same. And I think I will. No.
Third breakup.
Oh, that's okay.
That's okay.
Life happens sometimes, right?
Exactly, exactly.
Okay. Let's shift a little bit. Your first book is a standalone.
Yes.
And now you're moving into this lane of these beautifully reimagined Greek mythology, this beautifully reimagined Greek mythology series. What led you to this, and how do you think you've grown as an author from your first book, which we just kind of talked about, to now, like what you're currently writing? What's the difference in that? So different.
I'm probably smoking something on that day or whatnot. So ironically, I was in Alvor, which is a little beautiful town in the Algarves in Portugal.
Okay.
I was visiting family, and it was the year that I was going to publish Right Where You Left Me.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was like just a couple months before publishing. Yeah, because it was in November release, and I went in August.
Okay.
So I was sitting there. My daughter's asleep. My parents are in the rooms. Everyone's kind of doing their own thing, and I was sitting on a balcony. Was I or wasn't I looking at football players, soccer, shirts and skins down below? Maybe.
Maybe.
And I had a bottle of sangria, and it was one moment where I was just like, I'm alone. I feel nice. The nice weather at nighttime, the stars are out. And I was sitting there, and I was like, what if I did a motorcycle gang story kind of vibes, like that vibe, but I want it to be different. I don't want the same thing. I want something unique in its own way. And I've always loved Greek mythology, but I'm not a fantasy writer. I wish I could be a fantasy writer, but I'm not. I can't do it.
That's a whole.
Rebecca did it. You can do it.
Yeah. Kudos for her, man.
like she went from love stories to fantasy real quick.
Real quick, maybe a hot minute. I'm just. But I wanted something that was kind of like taking the story and mimicking it into a real life story.
Yeah.
So like my favorite movie of all time, it's like one of my Roman Empire movies, so to speak, is Romeo and Juliet from 1997.
Okay.
And I love how they made it into this, you know, they took Romeo and Juliet's story and made it into like a modern day, like two families hate each other, you know, that whole vibe. And so I started with that. I said, you know, I don't want to do, out of respect of my family, I don't want to do an Italian one because that's stereotypical and everyone does it. I don't want to do any culture one. I mean, technically Greek mythology is a culture, but I wanted to take the story and mimic it. So I did research. I started looking up the stories of what they are, and I created the Olympus Syndicate. And basically, I wanted to make it sound like you're walking into a world where it's just like regular mortal like gods, but they're just normal people. And I did a lot of play on in the book. So there's a lot of like Easter eggs of like Greek mythology references and stuff. So that was the whole concept. And I told my best friend, I'm like, this is not gonna be just one book. This is probably gonna be four. And she's like, can we just start with one?
It's
I'm
hard
like,
to,
no.
like, you have the whole vision.
No, you have plenty of stories to that.
I have like the whole entire vision of it. Like I already know what book four is gonna be about. So it was like I formed it that way, and I started writing. And this one, this actual particular one, Wrath of Love, took me solid 3 months to write.
Only
3 months? Wow.
Only 3 months. I did
That's
it. So
amazing.
previous to the other book, I didn't edit it out. I didn't touch it. I didn't do anything other than sit at a computer every night, pump out the words, and that's it. And I
So when
didn't look
you
back.
do that, like it's kind of a different question I have though too, like what's your process for writing? Like do you write start to finish or do you write like different chapters and scenes and piece it all together? Like how do you do that?
I do start to finish. I see it as a movie. So when the characters are in my head, I go with whatever they want to go with. I follow where they take me. And it's so weird to explain to others how it works. It literally looks like a movie in my head.
Well, it
And
looked like an HBO series in mine, so
it gave
you
me
did
like
really
Sons of
well.
Anarchy vibes. I
I
love that
wanted that
show.
like gothic, like I wanted like Batman gothic vibes meets like Romeo and Juliet vibes. So like it's a Clash of the Titans kind of feel. So, but yeah, so that's why I was like, I want that feel of like, okay, this is gonna happen. This is what I want. So yeah, I sit there and I let it go. I let the characters do their work. Same as this one, Shadows of Innocence, which is taking a longer than normal time because it's been really hard to write. It it's bringing me back to my first book, and there's a lot of pain in it. And you know, it the first book was easy because it was more of like a lust, more like a, you know, like it's a slow burn. There's not like a fully intense, like they just met and they fall in love kind of vibe. But this one is, they have history.
Yeah.
And there's pain and anger and
You could tell that in the last like 2 pages of your book of Wrath of Love.
Yeah,
Like
getting ready
there's a
for
lot going on. Like you could see the set, you could feel the sadness to her and the anger of him. So
So
I read the first chapter and I'm ready for more.
I have
I
not
just
because I'm not
am.
on Instagram at the moment, but
Yes, Brittany's been out of it all. It's just been me running the page because she does lit. And so I read
You
it
can
and
have
I
the
was
link.
like,
Do I what?
oh, you can have the
You can have the
link.
link.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Send me the link. I will
I
totally
thought
read it.
I'm excited for Persephone's story. Now, okay, so let me see. We kind of touched on like how you came up with this idea for, okay, so where does the whole motorcycle gang aspect come from? Where does that, like you said, you were sitting there and you're like, I want to write this motorcycle gang. I want it to be different, which you hit the nail on the head with it in such a beautifully well done way. But where do you, like, what's your motorcycle pool? Where does that come from?
Son of Anarchy.
Okay.
I mean,
I've
I
never
love
seen
that
it.
show. You've never seen that show?
No,
Oh, it's
I'm
so
gonna need
good.
to. It's
Opie
so
is my
good.
favorite. Opie
Yeah.
will forever be my lover. Y'all can have
And it,
Dax. I'm hoping.
You can't beat it.
I got it from, I'm obsessed. Like, everyone has their own like favorite trope. My trope, 100% down, will be MC. It's
Okay.
on the top of the top. Like, if I can read any or as many MC romance, I will. Is there different way, like different genres of MC? Yeah, I feel like there's some that are like kind of like a playful, fun, not super serious ones. And then there's ones that are like extremely intense ones that you're like,
Violet.
oh, I feel like I'm in the motor in the motorcycle world.
Yeah.
Me, I love tragic love stories.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I'm in the middle. So
Yeah, break my heart.
I want to rip you to shreds and make you go to therapy. That's what I want.
We all need therapy anyways, just add that in.
Exactly. If
It's
I
our
have to
push.
go, you gotta go.
Okay, so you think this series will be four books? Do you
Ooh.
know? So we have is it Aphrodite or Aphrodite?
Aphrodite.
That's what I
Aphrodite,
thought.
yeah.
And Ares.
Yes.
Hades and Persephone. Who else are we gonna
Yes.
get?
Okay, I'll tell you just this one
Okay.
because I want to keep things secret, but
Okay.
she's gonna be a very crucial, important person in this whole entire book in Shadows. So Athena's getting her next book.
Yes,
Ooh,
I was gonna say
Athena.
her. Yes. So I took Greek
Athena.
mythology in 12th grade, which was like I graduated in 12, so forever ago. And so, yeah, learning about Greek mythology is very interesting. I had a very hard time with it. I also think I was 17 years old and just didn't care about school. So in your story, I had to go back on the internet and like, oh, who, like, I was like, I think they're together and I think they're together. And so I had to like look up stuff.
Well, that's
But
the thing is that, like, so what I did before I started the whole story of it, I went down the rabbit hole of how I would make this work. Like,
yeah.
who would be right and me not getting like a Greek mythologist, like, professor coming after me, like, that would not work.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
And I even said at the beginning, this is not a retelling, this is a reimage.
Yep.
It's my, is it 100% accurate? Absolutely not. But I tried to stick with kind of like the same line of
Yeah.
their story. So like for
Yep.
instance, Aphrodite was forced to marry Hephaestus.
Yeah.
She marries him. She has a love affair with a Ares.
I kept telling
Brittany?
you it's Hephaestus.
Hephaestus.
I said upset. What is it? Asbestos.
Yeah, you kept saying asbestos.
Was she?
I mean, at this
Eight.
point, he could be that because
Right.
he
Basically, he was.
he was
I think
close.
I did like call him that because he just gave me the ick. Yeah.
He's a player.
And I really didn't want to shorten his name because
Yeah.
if I did, it'd be Hef, and I'm like, I don't want Hugh Hefner kind of vibe.
Yeah.
Oh,
Like,
gosh.
and I tried so hard. Like I was going through, like we were playing around with names, and there was nothing. And I was like, screw it, we're keeping Hephaestus. Suffer, everyone. Learn,
Yeah, it's
Google
okay.
it.
It's when you just
But
start calling him like the first letter of the name.
yeah, I
Yeah, it's
H.
like Hef.
It's big
H. There you
H.
go. But that is the story. And then with Persephone and Hades, the Persephone and Hades is the story about how he essayed and took her
Yeah.
to the dark world.
Oh,
And then
yeah.
that's how the kidnapping stuff. I did
Okay.
not want to
Oh.
do that. I wanted to twist
Yeah.
it. I wanted to
Okay.
make it as in there's a serial killer
Okay.
takes over. And
Okay.
basically, you have Persephone, this young college student, falls in love with the bad boy, Hades, who's part of a
Makes sense.
motorcycle gang. And then her mom, Demi,
Yeah.
is the mayor and hates her dating this guy.
Yeah.
And at the time of all that, there is a active serial killer in their town.
Ooh, I look
And
forward to
so,
this.
yeah. And so, unfortunately, one person dies very close to Persephone, which makes this whole thing explode. And
Okay.
you follow that.
So Brittany had a really good question that kind of like falls into all this. Brittany, you want to ask that about like
I
this
don't even
like Greek?
remember what I wrote.
Okay, so
I
you were
know about
talking
navigating the love story.
like it's already set with Greek mythology, it's already set. So was this harder or easier? Because, and did you ever consider like totally going off? I know you kind of mentioned like not wanting some Greek mythology professor coming at you, but did you ever like really heavily consider, and is it possible that in any future books you would kind of go off of what Greek mythology says?
With Athena.
Okay.
So with Athena is very structured. She doesn't have men in her life. She doesn't have anything. She represents women as like the independence and that whole feminism movement. I still want to have something with her. I still believe. And so when I did my background check, she technically there's kind of like a little bit up in the air with the idea of her having some kind of connection with Prometheus. And there's some kind of connection of like some sort of like a friendship or something like that. So Theo and her are going to be the next two. So those are that connection as the next. So yeah, so it's definitely going to be fun to play. I know it's not going to be true to this like the concept of who she is, but she's gonna. So I idolize my best friend. She's amazing. She's my Athena. And you'll notice it through the story that in Shadows is that she creates this massive wall because she is part of the OS. She's a woman in a male dominant game. So for her, she doesn't let herself let it go. Like she shows herself as who she is and what she can handle and what she can't do and all that stuff. Like she's tough. Like that one scene I sent to the group about her, like yeah, that's her. But she has a side that no one sees, and the only person that does sees it is Theo. And there's gonna be this tumultuous, like, you can't come in my life, like that vibe. So we've been kind of mapping it out on the chart of like how she's gonna tie in. And unfortunately, there will be a very, very, very bad ending to Shadows
Oh,
on the epilogue.
I don't like that.
On the
I don't know.
epilogue, though.
On the epilogue.
Therapy.
Therapy.
Schedule
Well,
your
I
therapy
did it in the
appointments now.
last one. You think I'm not going to do it in the next?
It really did leave on a cliffhanger, but I do have to say that I like that you came full circle with Paris because I was always wondering in the back of my mind, where'd this girl go?
You
So
know,
when
it's
she showed up, I
Paris.
was like, oh, finally. I was wondering what happened to her.
Fact, Paris is a great friend. She's there. She's in it. She kind of is. I don't know if I'm gonna like tell her so. I'm gonna see because there's a lot more to the story of like other gods that I can touch bases on. Like, I know I was talking to my friend about it and thinking about like, what if we branch off to another world of it? Like, you know, Poseidon, he's in a different like town. You know, we can go through there. And there's that whole stories about him and his son and everything like that. And yeah, you know, there's a lot more that I can have fun with. Maybe. Oh.
Do you see yourself like finishing this series before writing anything else?
I
Or do you
think
think you'll
so.
take like an intermission and write something else in between?
So ironically, she's probably gonna kill me. Ironically, my best friend and I are thinking about doing a dark cowboy romance on the side. Yes. Yeehaw.
We like cowboy
Yeehaw.
romances.
Yes, exactly. So I
We
was
like the
like,
Blue Rebel series a lot.
Blue Rebel is really good, man. I like that. Like I never knew this in me, but in my 2025 bingo card, I want a cowboy.
That sounds great. I love
Ooh,
that.
yeehaw.
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 I have a southern boy without the cowboy. So,
How does that work?
ooh.
He's just a southern gentleman. That's probably about where it.
Ooh. Just no
And
cowboy boots.
no accent either. He killed, well, kinda. I mean, I'm from the Midwest. He's from the South, so I can only hear it in certain words, but we've been together for almost a decade, so I can't hear it much anymore.
Well, you do have a little bit of an you do have an accent.
I have a
I
Midwest,
yeah, but yeah.
But I'm also really stuffy, so that just adds to it. I
It's
can't
very
get over
hot.
it. It's been like 2 weeks.
Oh,
Can't
yeah.
get through this.
The weather
So,
sucks,
man.
I have a couple like quick questions. Does somebody get Hades a new Mustang? Boy deserves one.
Boy does it. Daddy Hades. I feel so bad for him.
I thought he got one at the end.
Did he?
No, he didn't.
Oh, he okay. Did that not. Was the same one?
He just wrecked it.
He just wrecked it because he wrecked it for them.
Yeah.
And there's a reason why it's a very important
vehicle. Oh, I can see. I can see it. I can feel it. I already know. Yeah. I can tell you right now what's in the book.
Yeah. But it's funny because, like, there's one scene I really want to write, and I think I'm maybe put it at the end as, like, a gift to him.
Is it a spicy scene. Gift to him?
No, like a funny comical.
Where,
like, Ares and Aphrodite give him, like, a Mustang, and it's not the one. And he's like, I don't want this. I want my baby.
Yeah.
You guys could have fixed it. You have money. Like, I want my baby. And then it like rolls out in the background and you're like, oh, just kidding.
Oh, he deserves it. I felt for him.
He caressed it before he ran right into the fence.
Yeah, he was like, fuck this.
Yeah, my baby.
He's definitely gonna, you need to understand Hades in the next one. It will break your heart in every and good. It's so hard to write a guy's perspective, like it's so hard, and I've been asking a bunch of my guy friends like, how would you feel, or like, is this right, or like, would this be make sense, and a lot of them were like, you know, you're showing his vulnerability, which is hard because a lot of guys will not show their vulnerability.
I want some tears. I want tears down my face.
Yeah. Oh, you will.
So I told Brittany about a book that I read that had me literally sobbing, and I was like, "Get your tissues." She didn't cry.
What book?
I was like,
that?
"What is Wrecked by Lauren Asher?"
Yeah,
she was like ready to be traumatized, and she
was. I was so ready for the traumatized, and then she was like, "You're almost there," and I was like, "What part?" And I told her where I was, and she's like, "That was the part," and I was like. Usually I cried sobbing. Everything. I was shocked.
No, I have a particular scene that I have written and put into the group that was so freaking hard to write because there's multiple chapters I've cried a lot in, but the last one that I did was basically she telling him all the stuff that she has built up for so long. And she's never told him any of it.
Yeah.
And she releases it. And she basically says, like, there's one particular line that I love. And I made it into a, what's it called? A post. And basically it's like, well, I need to pull it up because I don't remember it by heart. I should know, but I have a brain of a sis.
No, you're good.
You have a brain of a what?
A sis. But basically... This is, like, my favorite line out of the whole entire book because it was the hardest to come up with. And it basically says, he was the kiss I never stopped tasting, the arms I never stopped needing, the goodbye I will never ready to say.
Yeah.
I'm trying not to cry.
Don't do that. I'm going to cry.
It's definitely like someone that you will always love but never can have.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's the tough part about the story is that it is, like that love to, you know, enemies to lover vibe. But
yeah,
I feel like no one really touches bases on lovers to enemies when it comes to when you once loved them so much and then you have to hate them for what they've done.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah.
That's why.
Now I feel like you need to write faster.
But I don't want to cry because I'll get stuffier. I'm like, no, look at
that. I'm going to Arthur, love tears.
I'm just I'm crossing off questions because as we talk, like, you're answering some of them. But who was your favorite character to develop? That you look forward to developing, and it could also be somebody not Athena.
I love Athena.
Almost sounds like Hades.
It was Hades.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel that.
He's writing him has been, he is so dark in his own world that I wanted to show that even the darkest person can still have a little crack of sunshine.
Mm.
But it's very hard to show. And
especially
I
if you know who Hades is in Greek, like Greek mythology.
Yeah.
So, I think
it's hard.
I think too, like, I look forward to reading this one because it makes me think of One Tree Hill and Dan. Like, he was such a villain and you absolutely hated him, but by the end you were like rooting for him too. And you're like, no, what the heck?
Don't do that to me. You know, One Tree Hill's my favorite show of all time.
So
I did not want to like Dan. He killed my Keith.
Okay. I killed Keith. That was hard. But I get
you know how many times I've watched that show?
I feel like I'm getting that vibe from Hades. Like, I'm gonna, like, not like him, but at the same time, like, you're gonna, and that's gonna say a lot on, like, your writing, too, like, and how you do that, like, make us feel this for Hades. Like, feel bad for Hades, like.
Yeah.
No, I'm glad, he killed his brother, you know? Yeah. Oh, wait, what? Did he kill his brother?
He
did kill his brother.
Was Hades? That his brother? His brother, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
She was with him.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. Yeah. And he was, like, jealous and stuff like that. But, no, it's true. Like, Hades is definitely going to be... I want to say this, is that I want you to experience what I'm experiencing when I'm writing Hades.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Hades, to me, is... There's parts of me in it.
Mm-hmm.
That I've never embraced because I create a wall, and therefore he's the same. He creates a wall.
Yeah.
And you can see him in Wrath of Love being like the protector, that he loves his nephew.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yes, you can feel that.
So do you think, because one of my questions was, who do you relate to the most as all of your characters? Do you feel like you relate to Hades? Do you think he has more of you in it, in his character?
Him and Persephone.
Both of them.
Yeah.
So this book is really you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why it's taking forever to write.
And why it's so emotional.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For you.
Yeah.
Now, does that make you more nervous as a writer to publish this one? Because you feel like you're incredibly vulnerable in this
book? It's like a diary. Book?
Yeah. So it's like the same as my first book because... I compare it to that in sense of I was so vulnerable, and to see sometimes some people commenting or saying
things, yeah,
and I shouldn't read the reviews, that's like not my place
Never.
To be, but some of them being like, oh my god, I couldn't stand her, why can't she make choices? And I'm like, life is not easy to make a choice, life makes you have stupid choices, and then eventually you figure it out. So with this one, Persephone does stupid choices.
Yeah.
Hades does stupid choices. But that's life. Like,
yeah.
We don't know what's going to work, what's not going
to
work.
And it might not relate to them, but it related to somebody clearly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And those are the messages that matter the most.
Exactly. Like, this one, so there's a particular part of the book that I want to talk to you guys about because I know it's going to be a little bit of a controversy. And I'm nervous about it because it's something that, and you guys can cut this off if you want or not, but there's a part of the book where Persephone finds out she's pregnant.
Mm.
And it's obviously Hades' child. And her mom finds out and she forces him to be arrested and accuses him of the serial killings that are going on.
Oh.
And so, you know, Persephone goes and she's like, listen, no, he was with me that night. He didn't do it. He's a good man. And her mom says, I will let him go and you will never talk to him again if you have an abortion.
Mm.
Oh. And so she has the abortion for him. But she never talks to him ever again. And all that weight has been in her for 20 years.
Yeah.
And so she relies on things like taking antidepressants to hope that she gets better. Or like distracting herself to feel like she can be better.
Yeah.
And a part of me writes that because it's like, and then he hates her too because he ends up going to jail. and being accused of being the serial killer, and people are attacking him and hurting him, and she never once talks to him. She
And
never
say
once
that she
sends him a
leaves him.
letter. She leaves him, but she has to. And
Yeah.
so there's this very, like, and that's the reason why he hates her, because she left him, because he let her in and see him fully, and she took it and she threw it away. And that's where he becomes this bitter, anger, like, I don't want anything to do with love. Like, and that's why you see at the end of Wrath of Love, where he's like, why the hell is she doing here?
Yeah,
Like,
leaves,
and then
yeah.
he leaves. So it's, I know this part of the book is going to be a very big trigger for a lot of people.
Yeah.
I already know that people are going to like be like, oh my God, why would you do that? Like, that's terrible. I'm like, I did it because if you understand the concept of who her mother is and how
Yeah.
controlling her mother is,
Yeah.
you will realize that she would do that. And also on the flip side, you would realize if you love someone so much, what are the limits of what you would do to protect them
Yeah.
and Yeah. I also think that opens a really good opportunity to manage, like, to touch on how she heals from that, because I mean, a lot of people talk about, like, or don't talk about the fact that it's not talked about, like, after making a decision like that. And so I think if you do that really well, like, people will see and understand. But I could see where that would make you nervous.
Oh yeah, I'm terrified. Like, I've already talked to my PA and I talked to my best friend about it, like, because she's my developer, and she's like, do you want to go this route? I'm like, yeah, I think so, because I feel, I say this in the nicest way possible, is that we would do anything for love, even if it means destroying our own lives.
Love
Yeah.
really does
So
make you crazy.
exactly. So, and I didn't want a traditional, oh, like, because this and that, and we just can't be together. No, I want something tangible. And for her to, and there is a scene where she goes to the abortion clinic. There is a scene where it's all detailed and it's painful. And it was very, I took me 3 days to write that scene. And it was the hardest thing I've ever written in my whole entire life. I'm not trying to cry. No, but it was so raw, because it made me feel like, if I loved someone that much and I would do that for them, and I know that they would not go and be free from jail just so that they can live their best life, I would. And oh man, after that, after writing that scene, that took everything. And so that would explain the rest of the story, how much pain she has. Now they're in the future and they're like, they're screwing around with each other, they're playing, and he's asking her, like, what are we? And she's like, I don't know. I don't know what this is, because I don't know how I feel, because I still got all this weighing on top of everything. And so
Oh, you almost got me.
it's
I mean, you're gonna get me, don't worry.
rough. So
I mean, that, like, opens up a path of, like, what direction you're gonna go in by doing that. And it's gonna be hard to put out in the world, but it's also, Emily already said this, like, it's gonna resonate with some, and it's not with some, and it's a good direction to go, like I said, to navigate how you want their path and how they move forward and how they heal together and things like that. So,
And I think,
you're
a lot
brave.
of
I can tell you that. That's
She
I'm
gets two
scared.
stars then. She wrote a book and she tackled a very
It's very rare
controversial.
I'll go on any book below three, because I always tell Emily, they wrote a book. Something I have no power, I want to do, don't care to do. Like,
It's
I just think that's
definitely,
amazing. And people put their heart and soul into that. And for people to put one star and be like, you suck, that's all you're gonna give me? Like, come on.
Oh, it's fun.
I
It's
just wanna
very
punch
fun.
people.
But no, it's true. It's just, I'm taking a risk with this story because it's so dark, but it's not, okay, I need to like fix that wording, because I feel like when you say it's dark romance, you instantly think like taboo,
No,
like,
I'm thinking like, yeah.
it's
I
dark emotions.
think
It's
heavy.
pain. Yeah, it's pain. It's not going to be easy. I mean, for God's sake, it's a serial killer story. There's gonna
Right.
be some...
Yeah.
And also that part too is that
it's almost like a little bit of thriller.
Yeah, it's definitely gonna have the thriller side of things, but a big chunk of it is also the serial part, the serial killer part, because I wanted to also touch bases on people, especially women, women of color, indigenous women, all women, that there's so many cases that don't get solved.
Yeah.
And it's right there. It's right there and no one's talking about it. And yeah, so with this story, I've implemented it. Basically, these poor women that were, you know, killed, they, no one's talking about. So now, 2 years later, she's getting a stalker that's doing the exact same thing. And it's him from 20 years ago. She's like, enough. I want to find them. So she kind of has like that Sherlock Holmes vibe. Like, we're going to figure this out. So, yeah, there's a lot of stuff
going on. I look forward to it. I gotta, I need that link. ASAP. I'll say. Right after this.
There's no killing in the first chapter. There you go.
I'm gonna break my fast. I'm just gonna go on Instagram right
now. Well, after reading chapter one, I want to know if we get to see more of Erica and Zeus and that banter.
A little.
A little? Okay.
Zeus,
I love
really
a good...
changed.
Because really Erica is young. And and Zeus is married to Hera. So Hera's still alive then. So
okay.
But we all still hate Zeus.
Yeah. But I love a good banter. Like, I enjoyed chapter one because I was like, I love the banter.
He threw his kids off the cliff. Come on. He didn't want them.
Gosh.
The banter in it is quite funny. There's a lot of banter throughout this whole thing because
we love good banter.
And he has a very dry banter, and even Persephone pulls that. Like in, there's one scene where she asked him to come and check out her apartment or her hotel room because she thinks the serial killer went in. And so he goes in. The doors were open. There's things that are like there that weren't there, and he's like, nope, I'm not gonna deal with this shit. He picks her up, throws her over her shoulder, and he's like, get me down, you brutes. I don't want this. I can't go clear. And like, and they're just fighting. And
yeah.
He's like, shut up, you drama queen. And he walks out of the room. So there's that banter between them. Like, there is going to be that anger, like that, oh, I hate you. Like that. Yeah. And throughout the whole entire thing. And then someone's going to be pregnant.
Ooh.
On a happier side.
Okay, but that was, okay. I was going to ask if we get to see Ares and Aphrodite.
Yeah.
And, okay, do we get to see Aphrodite?
I'd be surprised if she's not pregnant now after all that fun they'd be having.
Do we get to see Aphrodite and Persephone have a friendship of any sorts?
They do, a little bit. They have, like, a little bit of, like, a connection, the kind of vibe with each other.
Yeah.
But she kind of stays clear with her because she is pregnant.
Yeah.
So she kind of gets that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That feeling. But there's a funny scene. I laugh at my own writing, which is so weird.
But that's good. That just means I'll laugh too.
I was going to ask you a question about something.
There's a funny scene where they announce they're getting married. And then Zeus is like, it's because they've been fucking like rabbits and she got pregnant.
I was gonna ask, when you write spicy scenes, do you sit there and you're like tapping your feet, you're like, oh my gosh, like all giddy?
I am so giddy, like
that's funny.
But I'm also like, okay, this might sound really weird, but I'm also like using my hands to like explain. I'm like, is he on top or is he
you gotta figure it out.
Like, am I on him, is he over, what is happening,
does that make sense? Can that actually happen? Yes.
So funny enough, quick story. My husband just went through, he has not, since we've been together, never read a book. And I finally downloaded Hoopla on his phone and got him a library card because I knew he would like the Empyrean series.
Yes.
And so he finished Fourth Wing and Iron Flame. But he did the graphic audio. So he's waiting for Onyx Storm. Nice. So he was like, man, these spicy scenes, like, he's like, that is not real life. And I'm like, now I'm like, in the back of my head, is he like trying to like
think that through
books? Like, he's so funny. I just,
oh man.
Like, oh, Benjamin.
Listen, I didn't even know I had a 2025 mask kink, and here we are.
You listen to Lights Out, you might.
Oh, I did. I loved it. I was like, okay.
Yeah. I can't wait for the second one.
Oh, I can't wait either. Like, I'm excited for
that. I just love when he talks to the cat. Mommy and daddy time.
Yes.
Mommy and daddy time. Please leave. Please.
See, I like that. Like, I like the little piece of humor in with dark whatever.
Yeah.
Give me that. The cat is a good comic relief in that one.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So there has to be banter. There is going to be a lot of banter. Also, woo-hoo, there will be the most intense, smeshy scene happening, ooh, in the cemetery.
Okay. Ooh.
There's 7 smeshy scenes.
7. How many were in the first? Do you know off the top of your...
4. And everyone said, it's not enough. I didn't feel that much sexiness in this book. I'm like, bitch, please, move over. 7.
Yeah.
Persephone and Hades got it.
Well, the first sex scene, honestly, is like a chef kiss. Basically, it was the night where she moves in and they're like fighting. So it's like aggressive sex, which is nice. Ooh. Like that primal. And he literally basically grabs her, throws her on the table, and he's like, no safe words. And she's like, no safe words. And
so, ooh,
okay. Like bondage.
Okay.
In chapter 6.
I'll be reading that and I'll be giddy. I'll be like, ah! Benjamin will be like, what are you reading?
You're like, here, read it.
Oh, yeah, read it. Table.
So I just have a couple other questions. Do you have any big nod in any of your books to anybody in your life, your family? I know you mentioned like Persephone is very much like your best friend, or was it Athena?
Athena, yeah.
Athena, yeah, will be very, and Persephone and Hades is a lot of you. But I mean, is there anything small or big hidden in your books that is just a nod to you and your loved ones or your life or anything?
I will say the very first book, there's a lot of everyone in my life.
Okay.
Right where you left me, there was like a lot of like little tidbits of like,
okay,
my mom, my family, yeah, and everything. For these books, I feel like some of the characteristics are like, I feel like Artie is very similar to my sister.
Okay.
She's not blonde, but she's definitely like this like bombshell. And she kind of has like a little bit of like a, like that little bit attitude vibe, and I vibe with, yeah, that. Paris, I don't know. Paris has like a mix of everyone I know.
Okay.
My friend Ali, she's like very out there, very cool. She's mm-hmm. like a black cat, cool. I love her. She's,
yeah,
beautiful. The men, I choose not to because that means it ruins things.
Yeah. You got to write them yourself.
Like, no one's like this. No one's like Hades or Aries or anyone. They're,
you don't be like, that guy's like my dad. That's weird. You know?
Oh my God. I think I broke the group when I sent my dad.
Oh, it was Brittany. That's why I've been mentioning her dad so often, because she put her dad a video and picture in the group chat.
Uh-huh.
And he has very like motorcycle gang vibes, like tattoos, the he white hair. Like, yeah. And so everybody was like broken for a quick minute. Longer than a quick minute.
I gotta
minute,
go back and see all that.
Well, I said when that, was it? Sarah Kate came out with that Highest Bidder cover. I literally puked. Someone sent it to me and they're like, you need to read it. And I'm like, okay, I'll look at it. And I looked at it and I'm like, eh. they're like what? I'm like, no. For a solid week it was everywhere, and I was like, I felt like I was like this. I'm like
hiding in your blanket.
safe space.
So I have said it, and I've said it many times, I could see this as like an HBO series. If they ever came to you and asked you to turn this into a movie or a series, would you have a preference on either? And would you do that? Like, is that something you would totally do?
100%. I would love to. Because I can see it as a TV show.
Yeah.
Yeah. TV show.
Like something of sorts. Like, when I was writing Wrath of Love, I was obsessed with Gabriel Basso. So Olivia Cooke as Aphrodite, Gabriel Basso as Ares. Did I say Persephone or Aphrodite? Aphrodite would be, Olivia. Persephone, major, major crush on Zoe Kravitz.
Ooh. Oh.
She's stuck. She is definitely my Persephone.
Ooh.
It's a throw up on this one. Me and my group of people.
Mm-hmm.
We fight, but we like, it's either Reacher or Ooh. Tom Hardy as my Hades.
You said that Reacher? Is
or Tom Hardy.
Oh.
I mean, where's Tom Hardy because he has that like daddy vibe. I don't know.
Yeah. Why. Yeah.
Like he's just he's messy.
Those are some good people. So we can just send a book to HBO as a gift.
I mentioned Athena would be my Florence Pugh.
Ooh.
Mm. Some of these people I know, some I don't. So I have to go look.
You're gonna have
I'm better at faces.
This one here, I'll link them.
Okay, so my last big question. It's been so much fun chatting with you, and
yes,
I'm gonna have so much time to like sit and edit and go through all this. And I just thank you for spending this time with us. I do want to ask if did you always want to write, or was this like?
So, yes.
You always did?
Yeah. As a kid, I grew up being bullied all my life in elementary school. And so I used to hide in the library. And the library was my safe haven. And I always wanted to be a book. Like, I wanted to be part of a book. I want to be on the shelf.
Yeah.
And to be I was obsessed with it. And I had struggles. Reading as a child because of all the stuff that happened, and I have a little bit of slur, so I had troubles pronouncing sort of words and stuff, so it always made me feel like a drive to like become a writer. And I knew it was never gonna happen because I was like, there's no way I would ever write a story,
right?
And you know, it was like a faraway dream.
Yeah.
And here I am working on my third book.
Yeah.
And it's just like the stars are aligning somehow, some way.
So
noticed, that would be great.
That would be your big aha moment, is getting an HBO show.
Yeah, screw the bullies.
Yeah, I'm gonna take you guys with me on set and be like, hey, these are gonna be my interviewers for
me. Yes. That's why I said, don't forget us.
Oh, God, no. You're stuck with me.
If you ever
for life.
If you ever go to HBO, I'm coming on set. And I want to just follow you around with a camera because that would be so much fun. I'm a photographer, so.
Can we be the people that oil up people?
Yes, that'll be our job.
Yeah.
There you go.
Tom Hardy.
Oh my gosh, Tom Hardy. Well, now do we want Reacher or Tom Hardy?
Right?
Reacher, is that like the guy from Reacher?
Yeah.
Yeah, my husband and I are watching that right now.
Yeah,
right? He gives Hades
back. Yes. Yeah. Okay, so like he took his shirt off, and I was like, my husband was like, "Oh my gosh,
we should get
look at those abs." I was like, "He probably eats just like almonds and water all day."
Almonds and water.
Here's walks the funny everywhere. Part. They're filming like 5 minutes that way.
Stop.
House.
Really?
They're just gonna drop.
They film Reacher here.
You need to go take him a signed book.
Yeah.
Be like, I envision you as Hades.
Yeah, and just write like right in it. Like when this becomes an HBO show, like this is for you.
This is a signed contract.
This is, I want you as Hades.
Yeah.
I want you as Hades.
Read Hades now.
The film location is not far away. Wow. I posted in the group saying like, hey, I know where this house is. They've been filming. He's always, so Reacher is like, like a Toronto-based film, it's like made in Pennsylvania.
Or yeah,
it's all Toronto. Like that's nice. The whole entire Toronto location, like in the Greater Toronto area.
So, yeah. So my last question is: what would you say to anybody who wants to write, wants to be a writer?
Yeah. Right.
Just do it.
Just do it. There's so many, like, I think of it as this, is that if it's good, if you feel like it's good, and if you want to talk and say and speak your story, go for
right.
it. There's no, at the end of the day, there's nothing holding you back for writing a story. It's yeah. you who's holding it back. And
yeah.
look, my first book, I know it's not, it wasn't a cup of tea. There's so many mistakes. There's so many things that were wrong with it. But I just needed to get it out there.
Yeah.
And I know from many other authors I've spoken to when I was a baby author, I'm still a baby author, but I mean, like, as in when I was fresh trying to get out there,
yeah. mm-hmm.
they were like, you know, just let it be, just let it out.
Yeah.
And they always said their first book was kind of like their baby, but
it is,
you know, all the things that are going to be wrong with it. And it is yeah. what it is, and you move forward. So I say, the end of the day, right? Like, there's so many people that have asked me, you know, what's your thoughts? Like, well, how do I do this? How do I do that? And I'm like,
just write.
My story is going to be very different from your story.
Same yeah.
Your
yeah.
story is going to be different from someone else's story.
Yeah.
Just do it. Like, I might have to pay $1 million for Nike, but
just do it.
Yeah.
Just do it. Like, yeah, that's the best advice I can give to anyone. And
I love that.
Afraid. Like,
I love that.
That's the worst thing you can do is let fear take over.
Well, we're proud of you for writing a book.
We are.
Yeah, yay. Very proud.
I'm 73,000 at that point. I got like 18,000 more to write.
Wow. Ooh. You get it, girl.
We're so excited. We can't wait to read it.
Yes.
We'll be looking out for ARC signups, maybe. Mm-hmm. We'll keep our eye out for that. And this releases October 20th?
October Is that week? 3rd.
Third, October 3rd. So
that's
you guys.
That's my mom's birthday. That's a good day.
Yeah. So you guys Hi, still have time to read Wrath of Love and then come on.
Oh, yeah. And plenty of time, peeps.
Get ready to read Shadows of Innocence.
Yeah.
Oh,
you,
well,
you could technically read Shadows without Wrath, but you kind of need it because it
no.
includes everyone.
I'm Brittany's big about that.
I'm big about that. I don't care if it could be a standalone. You got to start with the first because I know the characters are going to be within that book.
And then you get to build on them.
Emily wanted me to skip to book 3 in the Dirty Air series. And I was like, to read Wreck. And I was like, no, I got to start with 1.
Yeah.
Even though they're standalones, I have to do it.
I did because of, yeah.
It's personal. It's me personally.
Yeah.
I just have to.
I just did it because of the cover and the person that was just.
Oh, well, I mean, hey.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, man. But, well,
yes.
We're so excited. I can't wait to for our listeners to hear this one.
Yeah.
I can't wait to dive into editing this and pull little shorts and post teasers. But it was so fun chatting with you. Thank
yes.
you so
thank
much
you
for
so
your
much.
Time.
No, thank you for having me. It means a lot to me and to believe in me.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I know I'm not one of those big authors that are going out there, but
you're gonna be big.
You start somewhere.
You're gonna go off.
I'll see. I'm gonna be like, oh great. But I am coming down to the States for 2 signings.
I saw Ooh. That. I saw that.
Where are you going?
I'm doing Spellbound in October, and which this is like the Willy Wonka of places that I did not expect to get in: Sinners and Stardust. I'm getting into.
Okay.
The big
Where's
one.
That?
And I was
Where's that
in
at?
New Orleans.
Oh.
Yep. Yeah, that kind of makes sense.
That'd be
like,
fun.
I'm
yeah.
like, wait, me? Me? Me?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's so exciting.
And we'll definitely have to have you back after we read your next book.
Wrath. Yeah.
You'll get a fan copy, so don't worry.
Yes.
You might hate it.
Oh, no, we won't hate it.
There you go.
You'll get nice reviews from us.
This sounds like an amazing next book too, so I look forward to it.
Thank you. I got a lot of work.
Aww. On that note. Well, get to writing.
Yeah.
We'll let you have the rest of the day. I hope you have a great weekend, and we'll
you
chat
too.
With you soon. Bye. Thank you.
Bye, guys. Love you.
Love you.
Take care.